This week's shiur, Parshas Shmini, brought to you once again by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas, Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. Towards the beginning of this week's Sedra, we find the death, Torah relates the death of Aaron's two sons, Nadav Ve'Avihu. And in response to this shocking occurrence, Aaron, the father, is said to have remained silent. He heard, saw what happened. The Torah relates two words, Vayidom Aaron, Lashon Dmama. He was quiet. It's interesting, though, the Lashon of Vayidom Aaron, again, simple pshat is that Aaron accepted the Yisurin of having the seeing the death of his sons quietly, didn't ask any questions, didn't Kodesh Baruch Hu, he just accepted it quietly. However, the Gaon Ostrovtza, he comments, he says that the Lashon is a little bit funny, because the normally the Torah, when it describes someone being quiet, uses the Lashon of Shtika, Nishtok. So it shouldn't have said Vayishtok Aaron or something along those lines. Why Vayidom? It's a lesson of Vayidom, Dmama. So he says that there are four main elements in this world. We have Hamidaber, a person. And then we have, as we say in English, animal, vegetable, mineral. We have the Baal Chai, we have the Tzomeach, the vegetable, and the Domem, mineral. The Domem. As we see the Lashon here of Vayidomar, Lashon Domem. So he points out that if, let's say, someone were to hurt, harm a human, a person, so what happened, what might happen? The person will give it back to him. He stepped on his toe, he'll give it back to him in the face. That's a person. An animal, on the other hand, if he is harmed by somebody, the animal might scream out and then run away. The vegetable, tzomeach, well, can't scream, can't run away. What will the vegetable do? Nothing. However, if the person cuts down the vegetable wilt, will change its form. However, a domem will not scream, not run away, nor, if you take it even and cut it in half, it's not going to change its form. It still remains. You take a rock, cut it in two, it'll be two rocks. It's not going to change its form. That's a domain. That's the inanimate object. So too, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron accepted the news, the tragic news of the death of his sons, like an inanimate object. In other words, didn't affect him, affected him, but he didn't comment, didn't change him in any way. He accepted what happened with full emunah. However, there's a interesting other perspective, I guess you can call it, when it comes to Kabbalah Sisurim. Rav Shalom Shvadron points out that he says that normally we think a madrega of accepting Yisurim is to say Gamzu Latova, which is true. Something bad happens, a person can have such strong emunah, they can say, as bad as it is, as it appears to me, but Gamzu Latova, it's for the best, it's a tremendous madrega. But he says there's something more than that. That besides, or before saying Gam L'Zuzu L'Tovo, a person has to internalize and just simply accept the Yisurin as they are. Right away jumping in and saying, oh, Gam L'Tovo, he didn't accept the Yisurin. He just like pushed him aside and said, okay, Gam L'Tovo. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but that's ultimately what he wants. But the first, Hashem wants you just to internalize, think for a moment and say, hey, look, Hashem is punishing me over here. Hashem is giving me certain. There's a reason for it. I deserve this. Afterwards, you can say, okay, and therefore, Gamzu L'Tova. But there has to be that initial acceptance of the Yisurin. Relates once of Yecheskel Mishinava. Once he heard some terrible news, tragic news. And what happened? He closed his eyes and was silent. And then they saw he started tearing, he was crying. Eventually he opened his eyes and he said, Gamzu L'Tova. So they asked him, why did it take you so long, you know, to say Gamzu Latova? So he said, pointed the Gemara, we just finished Chag HaPesach, the Gemara says, Bala Maror Lo Yatza, that if a person swallows maror, bitter herbs, whole, without chewing it, he's not Yotze. Why? Because if you just swallow it like a pill, so you don't taste the miri root, you don't taste the bitterness, go straight down. And as you miss the point. Part of the whole point of eating maror is that you feel the bitterness. So in order to do that, you have to chew it in order to get out the bitterness. So somebody swallows it whole, he's lo yatza. He says same thing with yisurim. So if you just swallow the yisurim whole, don't doesn't affect you whatsoever. It comes to latova right away. You miss the point. There has to be that initial chewing it up. You have to feel the bitterness. You have to feel it. Because it's a message from Hashem. After that, you can say Gamzu Latova. Besides knowing that, we said that knowing how to accept the Yisurin, as we describe, also one has to realize another important fact when it comes to Yisurin, and that is that you can't run away from Yisurin. More specifically, there's first a nice mashal given by Rav Chaim Brisker, and he says on the pasuk in Tehillim, "Al tiu kesus keperet ein havin." A person shouldn't be like a horse that doesn't understand. He says a beautiful mashal. He says, "What's special about a horse? A horse, when you hit it, it starts running. The more you hit it, the more it runs." Says, why? Why is it when you hit a horse, it runs? Explain, because a horse thinks that once it's hit, if he runs away, he runs away from the stick. He's running away from the stick, so he won't be hit again. He's a hit, oh, get hit, oh, run away, so I won't get hit anymore. Which, of course, we know is foolish, because the rider is sitting on top of him, and he can't run away. He's going to hit him again. He's not running away from the stick. Stick's running away with him, running with him. Of course, the horse doesn't understand any things. By running away, he's running away from the stick. So too, a person shouldn't be like a horse. A person gets hit from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he thinks, okay, I'm going to run away, so I won't be hit. You can't run away from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's with you the whole time. He wants to hit you, he's going to hit you. You can't run away. You can't run away from the Suri. Brings an interesting Shaila. That was asked Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, brought in Chashuke Chemed and Maseches Brachas. So there was a woman that she had two sons. She had two brothers. Sorry. A woman had two brothers. And after she got married, her two brothers became ill with, they were schizophrenic. Now, one of the brothers through treatment, he was able to get better. The other brother, however, wasn't able to get out of it. The treatments didn't help, and he was in terrible shape, and he spent most of the day in bed. He couldn't function normally like a human being. The husband, then, of this woman, who had these two brothers like this, the husband went to a psychiatrist, and he wanted to clarify the situation. And the doctor said that it's very possible that it's a genetic illness here, and because of that, there is a 5% chance that they would have a kid also that might have this schizophrenia. Chances are 5% more than your average, you know, person, populace. So when the husband heard this, he didn't want to bring children into this world. He said, if that's the case, I don't want to have children, because I don't want to, you know, I wouldn't be able to handle having a kid like this. So I don't want to have children. His wife, on the other hand, didn't agree. He said, listen, let's, you know, we got to do what we got to do. If we have children, well, we'll be, and she wanted to have children anyway. Husband insisted no, and he says if she doesn't change her mind, he wants to divorce her. The wife said, well, let's not get too rash. Let's take this to a Rav. Whatever the Rav says. The Rav says, halachically, you know, you're right. If not, then So, fine. So that's why they asked the Shaila. So, the answer was that the woman was correct. And that is, they must have children. Whatever will be, will be. And the reason for it is twofold. The first reason brought the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where Yeshayahu Navi said to Chizkiyahu Melech, Tzavet lebeitcha ki metata velo tichya, metata v'olam hazeh velo tichya l'olam haba. You're gonna die in this world, not have the next world. Says why? Says because you didn't have children, didn't want to bring children into this world. So Chizkiyahu Melech said, well, I have good reason for it, because I saw that with Ruach HaKodesh that I was going to have children that are terrible, Rishayim. So I didn't want to bring Rishayim into the world. So Yeshayahu Navi said, "B'hadei dekavshi rachaman olam alach." Says, "It's the secrets of Hashem. Why? They're not your, none of your business. You have a commandment. You have to do what the Torah says, and finished. That's your responsibility. What will be, will be. Rishayim, not Rishayim. That's not your business. You just have to do what you got to do." So too, one point, therefore so too here, this couple has to do what they have to do. Yes, the children chas v'shalom will be agnostic, and just got to do what they have to do, what they're commanded. That's one point. Second point is why we're bringing this, and that the, what was the husband's taina? Why did he not want to have the children? He says, because it's difficult to, you know, bring up a child like this. I couldn't suffer with this. So he said, you have to realize that even if you were to have a child like that, and it would be difficult, but so he said, you can't run away from Yisurin. He says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have Yisurin, you're going to have Yisurin anyways. It's not going to help. And he quotes a beautiful piece from the Stipler Rav in Kraina de Igrisa, Chilik Beis, the 26th letter over there. And the Stipler, he says, discusses the concept of having a lot of children, right? Having many children. And some people say, oh, I don't want a lot of children. It's too hard, too difficult. So first he talks very practically. And he says, first of all, it's not so terrible. You think having three kids is better, six kids is too much, whatever. But even having three kids is difficult. A few more along the way, it's not going to make it anymore. It's all difficult in general. But he says, more practically, he says, the truth is, having a big family is very chashuv. Why? Because as the kids get older, the older kids help the younger kids. And the younger kids learn how to, you know, take care of the house and take care of the kids themselves, so they don't become a spoil. Whereas if you have a family with one or two kids, ends up that one or two kids, the mother doesn't need any help, so they never help the mother and never help her do anything around the house. So they end up being lazy and spoiled, and it affects them when they grow up, that they become those type of people that can't function, that everything's too hard for them, and they're not functional when they get older. Whereas somebody who comes from a big family, and the opposite, they get used to helping when they're young and they're not spoiled, and then as they grow up, they become people that are not afraid to work and not lazy, and they're much better off in life as they go on. So that's a point for having a large family. But he says that, to quote, he says, "V'nei be'emes kol manat yisurin v'sevel v'chein kol manat oneg ha'chaim ha'kol nigzar al yidei ha'adam min ha'shamayim b'rashonim yamkim." Everything happens to a person, all the tzaras, all the suffering that a person goes through during the year, and also the good times, the oneg, is all set from at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur on a person. There's nothing you can do to run away and get away from them. If a person will run away from a certain thing which will cause him suffering, so he'll get something and suffer in another place. Fine, you ran away from this suffering. Hashem will bring something else. And good owning the pleasure the person's going to have, you'll get it. Oh, this didn't happen. I didn't have the enjoyment. You'll get the enjoyment somewhere else. Hashem will give you pleasure, nachas, whatever it might be. Whatever's coming to you is coming to you, good and bad. And he said, there's harbei shluchim lamakom, right? Person, Hashem has plenty of ways to make a person suffer. Person could run away and say, oh, good, I'm not going to have a lot of kids, good, this is why I won't have to suffer, it's going to be too hard. Okay, so Hashem can make the person chas v'shalom sick. Hashem can make the person chas v'shalom poor. Hashem could, a million and one things a person can do to make the person suffer. So he's not suffering, having kids, fine, so he'll suffer being sick, he'll suffer, you can't run away from him. He says, okay, good, I won't have kids, I won't suffer, I'll have it easy. You can't, not gonna have it easy. If it's meant to have it easy, you're gonna have it easy no matter what. If it's meant for a person to suffer, he's gonna suffer no matter what. There's no way around it. And one last point he says, very interesting. Brings a Midrash Rabbah in Parshas Miketz. It says, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Ein lecha adam below Yisurim. Right? Everybody in this world suffers some. But Ashrav l'adam she Yisurim bain alav min haTorah. Big Yisod. But happy is the one that his suffering's coming through the Torah. Meaning, like he said, you can't run away from your suffering. But if your suffering is coming through the Torah, because your suffering is coming from learning Torah. Your suffering is coming from keeping the mitzvah of the Torah, having children the Torah wants you to have, or whatever it might be. Anytime your suffering is happening through the Torah, then first of all, you're using up your suffering that you're going to have to suffer anyways, but you're going to get extra schar for suffering for the Torah. That gives you schar. I was just discussing the other day with someone, right? So therefore, since there's we have the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, when a person suffers here in Eretz Yisrael, oh, this is tough, life's tough here, this happens that, but at least he's suffering in Eretz Yisrael when he's doing by living here in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So all the suffering is a mitzvah, comes in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Whereas you're suffering in Chutz La'aretz, you're suffering also, but you're not getting the mitzvah out of it. So here you get the bonus of the mitzvah. So you can't run away from the suffering. It's going to come no matter what, if it's meant to be. And happy is the one that at least the suffering comes through mitzvahs, if possible and when possible. Brings a maisa. It was once a chassan and a kala, and they were cousins. They got married and they were related, first cousins. And they, as happens sometimes when relatives marry, they found a genetic problem. And Rachamana Litzlan, they had five kids, one after the other, they all died. So one would say, hey, forget it, let's, no, but they stuck with it, they didn't give up, they had emuna, and they continued, and there was zoichet to have in the end eight kids healthy. They were all iluim, he says, and sadiki. As it says, Meshalem sachar tov li'reyav, Hashem pays back those that fear him with the tremendous sachar. Also, there's Maisa with Rav Chaim Kanievsky that he mentions that his sister, once a woman came to Rav Chaim's sister and complained. And she said, not complain, but she wanted a bracha. She said that, her kids are sick. And she wants a bracha that, so he asked, she asked the Rav Chaim's sister to ask her father, which was the stipler, for a bracha for her, because there's six kids. So the stipler, as we said the following. He said, you can't run away from tzaras. He says, you have sick kids. Okay, that's meant to be, that's meant to be your suffering. If your kids wouldn't be sick, so what? Then you'd have it good? No. He said, then you'd have a neighbor that would give you tzaras. Whatever, you can't run away. So what happened in the end? She said that her kids got better, but then she had a next door neighbor started giving her tzaras, and said, they gave me so much tzaras, she said, it was the worst tzaras I had when I had the sick children. Exactly what the stipler said. It's also a maisa with Rav Yitzhak Elchanan Inspector. When he was a bacher, he was 12 years old, and they offered him a shidduch. In those days, they used to offer shidduchim when they were young. He was only 12 years old. And so he went to the house of the they call it the miuetis, the girl that, the possible shidduch for him, went to their house. And he was such a big masmid in his learning that he was... totally involved in his learning. He didn't even realize what was going on. And he knocked over there was some drinks and some cake, and he just you know, knocked it over. He wasn't with his sefer. He wasn't focused on what was going on because he was so involved in his learning. Anyways, this woman, they offered for the shidduch for him. She saw this, what was going on. She said, "Forget it. I don't want to. What kind of a life is this living with this guy? You know, he's in another world. Because I don't want to." So she said nothing doing. She wasn't interested in the shidduch. In the end, years later, he eventually got married, etc. Years later, he became the Rav of Kovna, and he was a big tzaddik, well-known Rav. And he was passing through this town that where this woman was from, and that didn't want to marry him years before. And people came out to him, "Oh, he wanted to get bracha, whatever, you know, big tzaddik, got all the door, you know." And this woman was there, very bitter. She had a very, very bitter and terrible life. And here she saw this, you know, he says, "Oh, I don't want to suffer, you know, with this guy, you know." Meanwhile, can't run away from her. She's suffering else. At least here, she would have been married to the God of Lador. And it's quote-unquote suffer. And here, now, she's suffering in other ways, which are not such pleasant ways. It reminds me also, I heard Maisa with the Stipler himself, that he was he married the Chazanish's sister. So the Chazanish, he suggested the Shidduch between his sister and the stipler. So sister said, "Oh, fine, I'll go out with him." So she went out with the stipler, came back. So the Chazanish said, "Nu, what do you think?" She goes, "I don't know. I have three major problems which are, you know, leaning towards no because of them." So the Chazanish says, "Well, what are the problems?" He says, "Well, first of all, he's dressed, you know, he wears this old coat and this, he's not dressed mechubadik, nice, you know." That's number one. I said, "Yeah, what else?" He says, "Number two, he's totally involved in learning 24/7, right? Here we are out on the shidduch day, and he's talking about this Rambam, his kashas, and terutzim, and that." So he talks about it on the shidduch. "Yeah, what else?" He says, "And the third thing is, he's hard of hearing." As we know, this, he was hard of hearing, this type. "So, I don't know, you know, all these." So the Chazanish said, said to his sister, "As far as his clothes, his coat, you buy him a new coat, that's not a problem. He's constantly learning." He says, "That's very good. That's a very good point. He doesn't hear." She says, "Don't worry. One day, the world will hear of him. He's going to be a great Torah giant one day. He doesn't hear, but people will hear him and listen to him one day." And she accepted it, and the rest, as we know, is history. So that's the Indian of Kabbalah's Yisurim, not running away from Yisurim. Now, how does one... after we have the initial vayidom, the accepting, the swallowing of the Yisurim, after that, what's the next step? How does one be mitnachem? Try to make the Yisurim less painful, so to speak, to comfort it. How can one become comforted by the Yisurim? So we see from the Gedolim how they are comforted by the Yisurim. Also, Shalom Shvadran brings down that we find right after the parsha with Vayidomor and the death of Aaron's son, it says we have the parsha of Shtuye Yain, and Hashem spoke to Aaron specifically and told him a parsha in the Torah of the how a Kohen can't drink wine before he serves. So the Midrash says, Midrash Vayikaraba says, "Pikudi Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev." The pasuk in Tehillim. That's the Torah makes a person happy. Ze Aaron, says the Midrash, "Shahaya Libo Atzevalav Bishvil Banav Shemetu." That of course his heart was sad. He was very sad. He just lost his two sons. Kevan Shiv Yeched Alav Adibur. But once the Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him Torah, Samach, he was happy. Minayin shneimar v'daber Hashem el Aaron lemor. So how does a gadol become comforted from these yisurim? Through the Torah. Shtikl Torah, he says. That's what makes the gedolim happy. That's what comforts them. Brings a few interesting maisias. So once during the First World War, Rav Chaim Brisker, he was, because of the danger, he had to run away from his city, and he had to go to this far off place with his whole family. So they arrived to this place, he ran away, they came there, they had nothing. No food, no drink, no, they just had the clothes on their back. They arrived in a certain place, and Rav Avram Kalmanovich Zatzal, he lived not too far from them. And he heard that the Brisker Rav arrived nearby with his family. So he wanted to help out. So he took like an agala, he filled it with food and drink, whatever, to bring to the gaon. So they brought it to the house. And he heard some screaming like going on in the house, whatever. I don't know. So he started, he knocked on the door, you know, to go in, help, whatever. And there was no answer. So he knocked, knock, knock, knock. Still no answer. He still heard these sounds coming from the house, but nobody's answering the door. So he got a little bit worried. So he, you know, opened the door. What did he see? He saw most of the kids, they just collapsed. I mean, they were, you know, had just run away. They were traveling. There were no food, no that. They just collapsed. This one on the table, this one under the table, this one on the floor, this one all over the place, just collapsed. Which you can understand. However, what was the noise? The noise was Rav Chaim was with one of his sons having a whole chavrusa, refalpel in a Rambam. There was discussing it, and that was the noise he was hearing. Back and forth, back and forth. And that's what they were doing. That, after all that, the travel and the difficulty of the travails of the way, what happened? There they are. learning that's what satiated their hunger, to answer the Rambam. So another Maisi brings with also the Brisker Rav that once there was bombing in Warsaw, and also he ran away, and he ended up going through this forest and bombs here and there. Finally he took some ran away under, and he got under these trees, and he to you know get away from the bombs, and he you know finally got out of it from running. He grabbed these two trees, out of breath, and he goes, "Oh, I got the answer to the Rambam." That's what he was thinking about the whole time. Also, he brings there sort of Shlomo Eger. This is Rabbi Kiva Eger's son. So once went into business with Rav Zalman Posner Zatzal. He was also a big Talmud Chacham, and they had this business going. They were kablanim for Bnia, or builders, building contractors. Anyway, so they got this good job to build a wall for the government, like a wall. So fine, things are going okay. However, there's a few of the workers which were not in the up and up, and they ended up stealing some monies from the government. They were supplying monies for the wall, whatever. They were like embezzling money. So the word got out to the government. They found out about it, and of course, who gets to blame? The contractors, you know, because they're in charge. So who is that? That's Rav Shlomo Eger and Rav Posner. So, of course, the government was not too happy with them, and they said they're going to have to go on trial, and they're going to have to pay a very high fine, and what's worse, they might end up having to go to jail. You can imagine, it's tremendous, sorry, these two tzaddikim, you know. So they had a meeting discussing, you know, perhaps what they can do to, you know, to save the situation. So they didn't come up with anything specific. So Shlomo Eger went to his house, Rav Zalman to his house. So Rav Zalman, the whole time, he couldn't sleep. He was lying down, back and forth, you know, in bed, trying to think, what can I do? What can we do? This, that, whatever. So finally he came up with an idea. So he just couldn't sleep. He said, I gotta go to the Rav Shlomo's house and, you know, tell him what I think, even though it's, you know, the middle of the night, whatever. But so he goes over to his house, and as he's approaching, he sees the light on. He goes, oh, Baruch Hashem, he's probably also can't sleep, you know. So let me good, so I can go tell him my idea, whatever. So he knocks on the door, whatever. There's no answer. Knocks, no answer. So he quietly opens the door, and what does he see? He sees Shlomo Eger sitting at the table with Sfarim open, he's engrossed in his learning. So he couldn't believe it. He said, how can he sit there learning at a time like this? I couldn't sleep. My mind's constantly involved. What to do? We might end up sitting in jail, you know. And he's sitting there learning. So he approaches him. He says, hey, so much so he could even hear the door knock. That's how engrossed he was in his learning. So he asked for Shlomo. He says, how could you learn at a time like this? Well, this is such an ace tzara, you know, and how can you concentrate? I can learn. So his comment was, "I v'harei lo l'ilmod hi tzara gadola yoseir." He said, "Not to learn." He said, "That's a bigger tzara." So it's the way. You're right. We have a tzara, but nah, if I won't learn, that's the worst tzara. That's even worse than that. So I'll take the lesser tzara and I'll decide to learn. One last maisa. Once he brings down here and Shvadron Sefer again. So with the Maril Diskin, says one time he came home at night after Marv and he was crying. So I asked him, "What happened? What happened? We're coming home crying from Marv." So he says, "I forgot Yalav Yavo. I forgot Yalav." So he points out, he says in brackets, "Alma Anachnu Bochim." You know, what do we cry about? What earth shattering? He forgot Yalav Yavo. He was crying. He forgot Yalav Yavo. So his wife, the Rabbanit, when she saw this, he was crying, Miss Yalav Yavo. She said, "Wait a minute." She says, "It's okay. It must be that you're sick. It must be you're sick, because if you were well, you wouldn't have missed Yalav Yavo. It must be you're not feeling well." So she said, "I think we should call the doctor and see. Check it out. Anyway, so the doctor came, check it out, and sure enough, she was right. He wasn't something wrong. He was sick. So they said to him, "Yeah, you know, your wife's right. You know, you really are. You are sick." He goes, "Ah, phew, good. Now I feel good." Now he wasn't crying. Now he feels good that he was sick, because he was upset. He was the Yalav Yavo for no reason. Now he found he's sick. Now he feels good. So on that note, before we have to, once again, just to summarize, we have to remember that if sometimes Yisurin come, we have to realize, number one, Vayidamar, accept it, and not just right away say Gamzol Torah, but to stomach it, accept it, think about it, Balamar Lo Yatza, chew it up, feel it, and then say Gamzol Torah. Then say, we have to realize there's no running away from Yisurim. What's meant to be is meant to be. You have to just do what the Ratzon of Hashem. And if you're doing the Ratzon of Hashem, then even if the Yisurim come, you have to realize that there's tremendous schar, like we said, Ashrei Misha Yisurim Bain Alav Mina Torah, the Torah that the Yisurim come from the Torah. And if we want a Nechama, the ultimate Nechama is, as we said, like we saw by the Gedolim, the Torah itself. The Limud of Torah, that's Mesam Chelev. That's the ultimate comfort. So at Hashem, we shouldn't see these Yisurin, and we should have only a life of Oneg and Simcha, and we should be Zoiche to the ultimate Simcha of Bias Gol Tzedek, Bimhera B'Yameinu, Amen.